Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today, I have a great guest for our show. Her name is Maureen Ballatore. Maureen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I am so glad you're here. So your company is called 29 Design Studio.
You got it.
So what does that mean? And tell me about your company.
Sure. So we're a boutique studio, intentionally small. So we do branding and marketing for next level businesses. So folks who have been in business for a number of years looking to take things to the next level, and they're not really sure how to get there, that's where we come in.
Cool. So 29, what does that mean?
I wanted to be full-time running a business for myself by the time I turned 29.
Wow.
Yeah, and so I did it. And
so a couple more years, you'll find out.
Yeah, right. Sure.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And so when you say next level, what does that mean? What are you doing for these businesses to help them get to that next level?
Right, so it's a lot of the time it's people who are executing their own marketing in-house. And so they're doing social media, but they don't really know how to do that effectively. So they're not creating audiences that are really nurtured people who are following and in love with what they do. They're not building, you know, strong brand followings. And so there's a particular way to do that in the message that you put out, the way you look, the way you sound, the way you feel as a brand. And so that's what we specialize in, is helping you figure out what does that look and sound and feel like for your business to help you build that, you know, real engaged following that loves what you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard branding, and I'm hearing, I'm going to say, digital marketing. Fair to say?
Yep.
And they're two separate things. Obviously, you want to, you know, create the brand. So if a company already has a brand, will you go in and kind of evaluate their branding and maybe we'll say revise, tune up if necessary.
Yep. So that's exactly our sweet spot, is a brand who has an existing look and feel that needs a little bit of love.
Hey,
yeah. Needs some life.
Yeah.
So yeah, rebranding those businesses and then creating a marketing plan specifically that's usually focused on the digital side because of today's society, you know, for one reason. And then, you know, so building a plan for them, an execution strategy, which we also execute on their behalf, to build out that brand that aligns with their new position.
Sometimes will you reinvent the name of the company, or is it more just like, we're going to come in and give you a good scrub down and facelift?
Sure, it's both. So last year we rebranded the County of Monroe Industrial Development Agency to Imagine Monroe. And so that was one that was big.
Sounds nicer.
Yeah, right? Whimsical, you know, it's just, you know, much more aligned with the work that they were doing. And so it's that kind of stuff. Businesses that are doing really great things and people don't know about it, you know, for one reason or another, you know, an assumption that needs to be overcome, or just that they're not getting their message out there enough or in the right way, you know?
Yeah. Well, I just came from a University of Rochester seminar. I'm an adjunct professor there, and Dennis Kessler, who's at the Simon School, he kind of did a case study of a project that he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's these engineers who created, if you can imagine, like a soda machine that you see everywhere, except it's a pizza machine, right? So it's like 5-minute pizza.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
You know, you pay $5.
Uh-huh.
And really, in 4 minutes or less, you get a pizza. Now, it's not, you know, it's not like going to your locally owned Italian guy, doing the wood fire. But, hey, for $5, a college student, it works, right?
Yep.
But they can't make a business out of it. And it's because they're engineers, right? So
right.
They made this machine that, you know, slices the pepperoni and melts the cheese and cooks everything in 5 minutes. So brilliant on that end. But when it comes to the execution of the business, the branding, the marketing, the sales, they literally have no clue.
Yeah.
Much like I have no clue how to build that machine. Or maybe you either, right?
Right.
So I wonder if some of the companies that you come in touch with, They're brilliant.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
But when it's like executing the brand, the marketing,
right,
the sales,
right,
they're lost.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's exactly who we love working with too. People who are great at what they do. They've got a marketable product that, you know, whether that's a product or a service, but that, you know, people want to love, but they just don't know how to get their minds wrapped around the right way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious because, you know, 10 years ago, this industry really didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, branding did to some extent. Hey, make me a logo.
Right.
And it did exist to some extent, but it's much bolder and bigger today.
Mm-hmm.
And digital marketing, obviously, I mean, maybe you could buy AdWords on Google 10 years ago. I have to check the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's a brand new field.
Yeah.
So, you know, how do you, first of all, how did you learn, like, how to be an expert?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you continue to keep your knife sharp, we'll say.
Right, yeah. So I'm a forever learner. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, something that I always want to find out how to do the next thing. So I went to school at Nazareth College in Rochester for graphic design and illustration. They have a dual major. I can't draw like a stick figure, but
but you have a major in graphic design, right?
Right. But the computer as a tool to, you know, execute art is my passion. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
And so, but I've always loved business too. And so marketing and strategy ended up being the perfect match for me to be able to take the art that I wanted to create and give it purpose, you know, so it had a job, it had a reason to, you know, be and do something. So I went to school. I graduated in 2008 when there were no jobs available.
Yeah, the peak of the, we'll say, crap storm.
Yep, you got it. So I wanted nothing more than to work in an agency and, you know, live that life. And it just, it was a terrible time. Agencies weren't hiring. You know, everyone was cutting back on marketing. So I went into professional services and I did that for 10 years. I was in the banking industry, and then I was in publishing, and then I was in legal. And through all of those in-house positions, I really honed my strategic understanding of giving that art a job.
Great.
And so, you know, I had two kids. They're 18 months apart, and they're 2 and 3 right now.
Right now, yeah.
And, yeah, decided that that was my launch pad. You know, I was going to build something for myself and something that I was really passionate about and help other businesses do the same. And that's where 29 Design Studio was really born.
Yeah, that's
from.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, little side note, I have 3 kids now, but my first 2 kids are 18 months apart as well. And it's, you know, a little busy for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the other side.
We took a 6-year break and then had one more.
Right.
So my kids are 14, 13, and 6 or and 7 now. He just turned 7. So yeah, it's crazy. But
it is crazy.
Little side note. It is fun though. It does get a little bit easier, I guarantee.
Yeah. I hope so.
Some parts of it.
Yeah.
Quick question. So when it comes to digital marketing, it seems like such a beast, right? Because first of all, you have to create the right website to be naturally organic, I'll say.
Right.
Findable. That's probably not the right term. But
optimized.
Optimized. Yeah. There you go. With the right, you know, titles and content and constantly updating that content.
Right.
Making sure it's not shared with others because Google doesn't like when it's duplicated.
Right.
I've learned some of these nuances.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Right? So that's what you do, though. Like, you'll help a company say, here's what you need to organically do so that your site just naturally is found.
Right.
And then you also, I'm assuming, that you also give them marketing strategies that they can pay for.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So those things all together. So, you know, it is definitely about the big picture. So it's, what is your brand? And then, you know, like the things we were talking about in the beginning, how do you sound? What do you look like? You know, which is everything that you're doing across multiple channels. If you send an email newsletter, what do you include in that? If you're posting on social media, which platforms are you on and why? Is that where your audience is? And all of those things, but driving them to a place like a website that is optimized for engagement on either mobile or desktop. Generally, it's mobile, you know, based on where people are coming from these days, and making sure that you're engaging your audience and nurturing them so that the content that you're giving them is valuable to them. And then when you're driving them back to your website, that they're getting the information that they're looking for, and then they're finding other things too that are of use and of interest to them too, to again keep them, you know, engaging with you and on that journey to your brand. Yeah.
Right. Hey, Maureen, great stuff. We're going to take a quick break.
Great.
We're going to be right back with more of the great value and love that you're bringing.
Sounds good.
You're listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here with Maureen Ballatore from 29%.
Fox News' Tim Shalhoub takes on the news stories of the day with comedic insight. Weekdays 3 to 6 on WOKR.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the three C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free endless pool idea kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for your free information, 800-281-4117. That's 800-281-4117.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now. Call 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
Of 29 Design Studio, which is a boutique branding and marketing agency in upstate New York, does strategy, does design solutions to help next level businesses tell their story. So, Maureen, I don't want you to give away your secret sauce, but just, you know, a lot of our listeners are beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm just wondering if we could go through it like an example, so could people learn a little bit more?
Sure.
Hit the ground running. So let's say. All right, we'll just use me for an example. Not that
Great.
I'm going to ask for free advice, but let's say that there is somebody who's trying to grow their speaking career.
Okay,
right, wants to get hired to be a more professional speaker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm putting you on the spot. I apologize. But what are some of the things that you would do if you came in? What are some of the things that you would do to help a person like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the best thing that you can do is know your goals mm-hmm. and know your audience.
Yeah.
And once you've got those two things figured out, all of the rest of it falls into place if they're focused on those two things, what you're trying to do and who you're talking to.
Okay.
Those things help all the rest of the pieces come into place.
Yeah, excellent. And then, so when it comes to the digital marketing piece, what are some of the things that you would tell that person to do? Would it be creating a lot of original content on the site?
Content is king. You've got to get your message out there and figure out the best way that your audience wants to digest that. So, you know, sometimes that's trial and error. Everybody wants to be on social media. It's an incredibly powerful tool. That's not necessarily where everyone's, you know, audience is all the time. So Facebook might not be the best tool for, say, a law firm, you know, to be on Facebook. Maybe that audience is on Twitter and on LinkedIn and needs to get, you know, digests via email. So, you know, looking at all of the avenues for where your audience might be is really important.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, do a lot of people, do they just try to wing it and do it on their own? Do they, you know, and then they call you when it's, you know, when it's like almost not too late, but
when they feel they can't do it themselves any farther. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not, you know, hey, everybody's got to start somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the internet being what it is, such a powerful tool that you can start, you know, and that's the best thing that you can do. Don't let yourself, you know, think that you can't get going because, well, I need a professionally designed website and I don't have $10,000. Well, start with what you can do. And, you know, if that's a WYSIWYG, you know, web builder to get your website where you need to be, and then, you know, you can start selling to build that revenue for yourself to be able to invest in, you know, somebody like me who can get you to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have a starting point to get somewhere to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people are using WordPress sites these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's, it's incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
If you can figure out WordPress, and it's really not that complex, you know, it's meant to be simple. WordPress is an incredibly powerful tool. I mean, I build from small to incredibly large websites on the WordPress platform, and because it's so adaptable.
Right. So you build websites.
Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
Well, you do it all.
We do it all.
One stop shop. Bellatory, one stop shop.
We don't say no to just about anything. Yeah.
So just about anything, right? Can you fix my car? No, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Very good. So, Maureen, people love to hear just the journey of how you became an entrepreneur. What were you doing before this, and when did the entrepreneurial bug hit you?
Yeah, I've always wanted to be self-employed. I've always been...
that's what we used to call it.
Yeah.
Right? Self-employed.
Right.
When I became an entrepreneur in 1995, I just wanted to start my own business, you know? And then the word entrepreneur became cool later.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first 5 years, it was like, oh, you don't belong anyplace else? I'm like, I guess not.
Yeah.
Now it's cool. There's no classes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no classes in entrepreneurship. Now you can get your, like, I think you get your MBA.
Right.
You know, customer, you know, a specialized degree in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yep. Yeah. I've worked with some of the students at Hobart William Smith. I have some roots in Geneva.
Yeah.
And the Hobart William Smith students have an entrepreneurial studies program. And so we've done some work with them to, you know, help them understand marketing and, you know, all of that stuff too. So it's great. But so my journey was, I've always just wanted to work for myself. I mean, from the time I graduated from college, I mean, I wanted to hit the ground running and do it all on my own. I mean, which is part of the reason why what we do for 29 Design Studio is an end-to-end solution, because I don't want to just do one piece of the puzzle. You know, it is a big picture thing to that's a big claim. We're going to help you take your business to the next level. And so that does include so many of the different pieces that we want to do it all. And so I've always felt that way. But, you know, having graduated when I did, and I really needed to learn some more. And so it worked out really well. I'm really grateful for those 10 years I spent learning in those different industries, because it helped me learn and see how other very experienced people who had been in the industry for 20 years, you know, plus, had been doing it. And so I was able to learn from them and, you know, take that and apply it to my own clients. And, you know, after taking the business full time roughly 2 years ago, we've grown like wildfire. I mean, it's been incredible.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you know, so I, as an entrepreneur, so I have three small kids. Well, I say small. 14, 12, and now 7, right? Or she's going to be 13 next week, my middle one. And whether you're a woman or a man entrepreneur, and you want to strive to have balance, health, and family, it's tough, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you manage it? Like, for me, I'm, unless I have an activity work related that I have to be at after work, which is maybe one night a week, if at most. Otherwise, my goal is like, I'm home by 5:15, so I can have dinner with the family. Because
yep.
I want to be there. I want to be part of their lives at night, on the weekends, and sometimes I'm up, you know, until 1 a.m. answering emails and doing proposals. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, but do you kind of have a secret to balance everything?
Yeah, it's schedule. Yeah. I schedule everything, like right down to my kids. So since they were 12 weeks old, both of them have slept 12 hours through the night. And
lucky. That, or maybe that was, I don't know.
Very hard work. That's right. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
So that's been the best thing, is that they've really fallen into that schedule. I know what to expect from them. They know what to expect from me in terms of their schedules too.
Yeah.
So they sleep 6 to 6.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm up at 5 and, you know, we're out of the house by 6:30.
Right.
I work until 4, pick them up. You know, we do the bedtime routine and dinner and all that stuff. And then I work for a couple more hours after they go to bed.
I want to go to bed at 6. I like that idea.
I know, right? It works well for them.
I went to bed early last night. It was like 10:30. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God. No. But I'm in bed early, too. Like, if it, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock is my... ideal.
Yeah. So you're very like regimented.
I enjoy that. Yeah. Well, it works. It works for me.
They say routine will set you free, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, good for you. How about, you know, so a lot of entrepreneurs, I'll say most entrepreneurs have a story of when they just fell on their face. I call it maybe the crashed and almost burned story.
Yeah.
Almost gave up, kept on working. I mean, I know you're kind of young in your career.
Yeah.
You're young in general. Any stories like that yet, or have you not had that experience?
No, not really. I mean, the toughest thing was wanting, you know, I wanted to start 29 Design Studio 10 years ago, like I said, you know, instead of going into the working for somebody else. So if anything, that was the biggest drawback that we had in the growth of the company is, you know, I spent those 10 years freelancing on the side. So that's why, you know, 29 Design Studio has history that goes back to then.
Right.
But yeah, so keeping both of those things going, but you know, I juggle a lot of balls in the air, and they all so far, knock on wood, don't jinx me.
No,
they're all in the air.
Just continued blessings. How's that so do you, now, what made you want to become an entrepreneur? Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs? Is it in your blood? Any friends?
My dad is a farmer, my family, you know, is farmers. So I grew up on a dairy farm, and I think that a lot of it comes from you know, my dad was, you know, he doesn't anymore, but, you know, he would get up at 5 and milk the cows every day, and there was no vacation from that. I mean, you can't just tell them, like,
you know. Did you
help him? I remember when we were very small, we used to, if the cows got out of the fence, you know, my sisters and my brother and I would all have to go outside, and you put your arms wide, and you say, you know, come on, babe, and, like, clap your hands to scare the cows all back into the fence, but that was the extent of it for me.
He didn't make you milk cows at 5 a.m.
No. And now it's incredible what farming has come to, that, you know, it's all just like marketing. A lot of it, you know, has become automated.
Yep.
The same is true for farming.
Yep, absolutely. Interesting. Yeah, so just seeing your dad roll his sleeves up and work his tail off, and really, it was his version's day of an entrepreneur, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
he
didn't have to go clock in another office. It was his business, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, he was self-employed. I mean, that was, the farm was their livelihood.
Yeah. And, you know, always makes me nervous to think about farmers. I mean, your dad had the cows, which probably is maybe a little bit more reliable business. But, you know, the farmers have to rely on rain and sun.
Yeah.
And that's out of their control.
Well, still. And, I mean, even with a product like that, you know, you can only sell what the market will withstand that year. And this year, you don't know what that's going to be next year.
Yeah.
So we have an apple client, Crunch Time Apple Growers, that, you know, same thing. And so it's cool to be servicing clients who are in the food and beverage industry and, you know, specific to farming, too, that, you know, goes back to the roots that I had growing up. I love that.
Right. That's great. So you have a fair amount of clients.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage it all? Do you have some, you know, people, do you have a team that helps you out?
Right. So I have an assistant who helps execute some of the day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm big on project management tools and, you know, all of the programs that I can use to help stream my workflow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that we do.
When it comes to your habits for success, like your personal habits, you know, I ask a lot of entrepreneurs this question. Things like, you know, meditation, exercise, reading comes up. How about you? Do you have any, I mean, it seems like you get a good night's sleep in your kids.
Right.
So that's like step one.
Yeah, right.
And actually sleep is, they say, like the most important thing you
yeah.
can do for your health, right?
Yeah.
7-8 hours at least a night.
Right.
Which Americans don't tend to get.
Mm-hmm.
Any other secrets you want to share with us? I mean, you look great. You look
Thank
like
you.
You're full of energy.
Yeah.
Great business going.
I drink a lot of coffee. Yep.
Is that how you get your water?
Yeah. Actually, yes. I try to be cognizant about, you know, meditation and self-reflection mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But that's the first thing that goes for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to keep all of that stuff going. And when you're prioritizing, you know, the yoga class or, you know, the client project,
yeah.
something's got to come first. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Do I have time to meditate for 15 minutes or do I have to do this project that's due tomorrow?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I stream audiobooks. That's, you know, so when I'm driving, I can, you know, zone out and listen to a story. And that's been great. To be able to, you know, disconnect from everything that is going on in my mind. And sometimes I have to pause it if I get too distracted by something that happened with work that day. But but otherwise, that's the best way that I can
do that too.
Reset.
The car is the last bubble of solitude,
mm-hmm.
right? And so same thing is, I call it my university on wheels.
Yeah.
I'm it's either podcasts or books.
Right.
And so a little recommendation, if you haven't listened to this one, it's the story of Airbnb.
Oh.
And it's an amazing story. I'm still in the beginning of it, but it's like years and years of people thinking that they were like total morons,
mm-hmm.
and like massive rejection. And they kept on going, though.
Yeah.
They kept on going. And one of the investors says, you guys are like cockroaches, you know, like you just won't die.
Yeah.
And within 2 years into it, it was still an idea where like the owner of the house would still be there and they were just renting out a room.
Yeah.
And it just kept on evolving. And even mm-hmm. even people even thought that was crazy, let alone give up their whole house.
Right.
So I think by listening to these books on tape, or if you do have time to read,
mm-hmm.
it reminds entrepreneurs that, you know, it's not easy. You got to stick with it.
Right.
I just listened to an NPR podcast where the host interviewed Howard Schultz. And again, I mean, it was like 8 years of just insane, you know, most people would give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good reminder that it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Right?
And no one is as tenacious as a business owner,
right.
really.
I mean,
that's your baby. That's the thing that,
you
know, you are trying to water and grow every day into being, you know, something that is bigger and better than it was the day before.
Yeah.
And so that takes a lot of effort.
People think you're crazy.
Right.
Right. Marie, go get a job. You get benefits, $60,000 a year, you'd be all set. Like, no.
Yeah.
Hey, Marie, we're going to take another...
Join Victor's own David Mamano weekdays noon to 1 for the Avanti Entrepreneur Radio Show on 1310 WOKR.
I'm Chuck Kamlick. CNBC stocks are dropping now. The Dow down 104, the Nasdaq 57, the S&P 17. The markets are reacting to Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who said that interest rates are going to keep going up. Shares of Comcast keep going down today. CNBC's parent may spend $31 billion buying Britain's Sky Broadcasting. Macy's stock higher because consumers spent more money at its stores for Christmas. Macy's will also roll out a program, incentive program for its workers, full and part-time, but did not say how much that would cost. Apple will soon open medical clinics for its employees. Not a good day for healthy stocks. Nutrisystem down 22%, fewer people signing up for its weight loss program, unlike Weight Watchers. Vitamin Shoppe sold fewer pills, lost more money. Its stock is down 12%. Stoli Vodka, partnering in Red Sparrow, the new Jennifer Lawrence movie, in which Stoli apparently gets something of a starring role. Chuck Kamlick, CNBC.
A few years back, I founded a small company. Now it's a big company. The main reason? Because we've always been innovative thinkers, especially when it came to our website and technology integrations. That's why when we saw our business start to accelerate, we partnered with AmericanEagle.com to develop a total digital solution. AmericanEagle.com took the time to learn our business goals, then helped us put a long-term strategy in place that would scale with our growth. They delivered a full suite of services from development and design to coding and hosting, which means our one point of contact understood the full scope of work. Best of all, when the project was done, our dedicated account manager and maintenance team were available 24/7 for support. So here's a small piece of advice from one innovative thinker to another. Don't hire a website company. Hire a strategic business partner. AmericanEagle.com. Give them a call at 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW, the number one, and take your business to new heights.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
She is the founder of 29 Design Studio, which is a boutique branding and marketing agency in upstate New York. And her focus is having the unique ability to strategize and design powerful solutions to help next level businesses tell their story. And you do that, for those just tuning in, through branding. Mm-hmm. So taking an existing brand, maybe it's fine. More likely it needs some love at least.
Right.
And bringing that to the next level.
Yeah.
And then also helping them with digital marketing. And that it could include everything from organic, creating great content.
Right.
And video to investing money in SEO, et cetera.
Right.
Right.
So, right.
How has the business changed? I mean, it's changing all the time, right? How has it changed since you got into it, which has been 2 years, right?
2 years that we went full time. We've been doing this for 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how's it changed over the years? I'd say the past 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a huge interest in Facebook and the Facebook marketing side, even for businesses that don't think that's where their audience is. I mean, there's something to be said too for catching people in their leisure time, and I mean, really the power behind those advertising tools is incredible, to be able to get feedback about what your audience is responding to, who your audience is, if you need some help figuring out what that is, you know, being able to run A/B testing to figure out which audiences are, you know, performing well and reacting to your content. But I mean, that's the biggest thing, is that the way that Google has changed and is so focused on content that is, you know, if there's nothing else that you can do, invest your time in content, in telling your story and nurturing your audience by giving them the information that they're going to find useful, and therefore position you as a thought leader in your industry, you know, to show your clients that you know what you're doing, you know, especially for service-based businesses.
Yeah. What about LinkedIn? Do you feel like LinkedIn is finally a star of the show? It's kind of been like a little bit of the nerdy business network.
Yeah.
I know that personally I've had a lot of luck with organic posting on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I created, I kind of teased an idea of a local mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
And I put maybe 2 or 3 posts within a month, and I had like 95 people say that they were interested.
Yeah.
And 42 signed up. And that was all from just organic LinkedIn posts.
Right.
I'm like, all right, maybe LinkedIn's becoming a star of the show. What do you see that's an up-and-comer?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big LinkedIn fan. I like it for a lot of different reasons. One is that with any of these social tools, this is the case. If you engage on those platforms, so if you choose to engage your time and invest your time in LinkedIn,
yeah,
it's going to be a good tool for you to give you some ROI, some return on
like
on that time.
Authentic content.
Right, exactly. So if you're nurturing your audience there, and you must be, if you know you're putting information like that out, well, there you go. So that's, you know, that makes sense for that to be the place for you.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it's a little bit more, less emotional, right? Like Facebook is, it's the new cry about politics website, right?
You know, Facebook is working hard to turn that around, you know? Yeah, and yeah. So they realize the direction that they're going with the kind of content that's being shared on those platforms. And they're working hard to turn some things around, which is why they've put in all sorts of rules about, you know, fake news posts that they're really screening where those links are coming from and, you know, might send you a message to say, you know, hey, you might want to watch this. Or for brands who are, you know, putting clickbait out there. So comment, like, and share this post to, you know, do something, you know, from a brand page. Facebook sees that and they say, okay, that's not the kind of content we want here. Right. We want people to be posting authentic content, and now is, you know, downgrading your visibility if you are engaging in those practices. So
because it's becoming like the known as like the polarizing place, right? And
you know, and like, especially for politics.
For politics,
I mean, not that I want to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh yeah,
but,
but it's like, and I don't think anyone ever changed anybody's mind on Facebook, but it's just like this little bitching session. And with Facebook, I've noticed a lot of people have commented on Facebook that, and they're complaining that Facebook just changed their algorithm, where even if you have like thousands of friends, you're only seeing like the 25 or 50. Is that true, or what have you learned about
that? So all of those platforms, it's all about the algorithm, right? Who's seeing your content, and when, and how can I get my content in front of those people more often? And so that's the case not only for Facebook, but strongly for Instagram too, that they've recently changed, you know, within the last year, their policies, so that instead of being a chronological system where I see the most recent information just like Twitter is, they've changed it so that based on, you know, if I frequently like your posts on Instagram, I see your stuff more frequently. So what it all comes back to is authentic content. And if you're sharing authentic information, then, you know, consistently, and you're not, you know, going gung-ho for a month and then signing off for a month, you know, Facebook rewards businesses that do social media right. And so, you know, that's authentic content and consistency.
And you have to stay on top of that, right? I mean, Facebook, for you and your industry, it seems like you'd have to, like, every day make, like, just stay on top of Facebook because they're always changing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's, I think that that's one of the things that businesses find overwhelming about, you know, their website and their content strategy, you know, whether that's social media or, you know, an email newsletter or what have you. But it's a living, breathing thing. It's something that needs attention. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be updated frequently. And so if you want to be a player on your, you know, with your search engine optimization and come in, you know, higher on Google, or if you want your posts to be seen on Facebook, you have to be a good guy, and you know, so you have to be
true, just authentic, right?
Right.
From not trying to game the system.
The best analogy I ever heard was, you wouldn't go to a dinner party and sit there and talk about yourself the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how you be a good friend. That's not how you be a good dinner guest. And so if you think about it in the big picture and apply those general concepts of, you know, asking your audience questions and you know giving them,
providing value,
feedback and value, then they will reward you with their time.
That's what was that book a few years ago that Gary Vaynerchuk wrote about, like, give and then ask,
right
in that proportion. And you'll see people that just ask and
right,
like, oh wow, oops, I blocked you, you
know? Yeah. And people can get so much for free these days. I mean, that you need to offer that significant value to your customer in order to, you know, show them that you have that mindset. I mean, so Adam Grant's book, Give and Take, have you read that?
I have not, no.
One of my favorites. And so that is also along the premise of, you know, having a generous mindset and being, you know, a giving person.
Right.
And how do you decide who you give your time and attention to without being taken advantage of, you know, in the concept of there's two kinds of people, givers and takers, but that you'll be rewarded both, you know, personally and professionally if you're giving of
your
time.
Life.
Exactly.
Right? Being a servant leader, being a servant social media person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a good Catholic boy. It's all about giving, 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 and then you're supposed to get something back eventually, right?
Right.
You're not doing it for that reason.
Right. Sure.
I like it. Sure, right. As far as you know. Absolutely. So, you know, if you had your crystal ball, where do you think all this is going to go in the next 5 years? I mean, you know, I can only keep up. So the big players are obviously Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Is that fair to say, or am I forgetting something?
Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. Yeah.
So those four. And I can only keep up with two, you know. I mean, really. And you find out most people, they can focus on one or two, like personally.
Yeah.
Like I can keep up with LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Don't do too much with it, you know, because I have other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you feel this whole is coming? Is there another player coming? Or, you know, I know 5 years ago Facebook was cool. Now, like, my kids are like, Dad, it's for old people.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and all the young people are on the young people. Listen to me.
Those youngins. Yeah. Those young whippersnappers.
They're on Snapchat, you know, because of the
Snapchat. We forgot Snapchat.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can choose select audiences. So, if anything, that's the direction that personal social media sharing is going, is that everyone's been talking for years about, you know, whoa, well, once you put it out on social media, it's out there for everybody to see forever. Well, so people are opting for platforms like Snapchat that limit their audiences so that only their friends can see, you know, or specific people can see certain messages. And so if anything, I would say that that's the direction that things are headed more, especially in terms of personal social media use. And that's going to make it even more challenging for brands. I mean, they can play on those platforms. There's, you know, there's a cost that comes with that. But, you know, all of that being that people are being significantly more cautious with their time. And so, you know, you have to be putting information out there that is of interest and is going to give people a reason to read it so that, you know, they don't see your information and constantly think like, oh, let Dave, he's just sharing the same thing over and over again all the time. And instead seeing that and thinking like, oh, David's got a new podcast. I really want to listen to that.
Yeah. And I do. Funny you say that. Every Wednesday. So Maureen, from a business perspective, like I said, a lot of our audience is beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. When you decided to officially hang the shingle and be a entrepreneur, I'm assuming you had zero customers. Is that true?
So because I can freelance, you know, and the nature of my business, my startup process was a bit different than what other people experience sometimes. So we did have some clients before we launched full time.
So you got to hit the ground running a little bit.
Right. Yeah. We got a little bit of a head start. We got to walk before we ran. But I mean, I think the question that you're asking is how do you start?
Yeah.
Right. So how do you go from
a biz dev? Like even today, how do you get business?
Right.
You know? So,
So letting people know what you're doing and, you know, creating your content strategy and sticking to that plan is one of the best things that you can do. And so, like I said, starting with your goals and your audience and then creating a plan that backs that stuff up is good for any business, you know? And so the big guys are already doing that. And so for you to figure out how to start your business, that's the way to do it. So what's my content strategy? Well, so for me, we put out a monthly newsletter that is interesting and inspiring content. Tells a little bit about what we've been up to for the past month. Tells a little bit of interesting stuff from around the web of kind of what's happening that's applicable to our ideal customer. And so it's a shareable piece. And so, you know, we send that to our audience, you know, our mailing list, our tribe. Yep, love that. Little Seth Godin in there. But, you know, that's the best place to start.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
And how about today? I mean, do you ever do any cold calling, or is it just meeting people, referrals?
Never.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
Some people have to, right?
Yeah. Some people do. And, you know, networking is one of those things that's got got an ugly
I call it collaborating.
Yeah. But the, you know, the traditional sense of what people think of when they think of networking is like that ugly thing in the corner that nobody wants to do. You know, nobody wants to go to the networking events where everybody awkwardly stands around with a drink in their hand and, you know, doesn't know what to say to right. somebody when really they're all they're trying to get out of that event is a customer.
Right.
Right. So if you shift your mindset and you know, change to how can I collaborate and how can I work collaboratively with some new people or find like-minded people who may be looking to achieve the same objective as me, you know, thinking of it as a collaborative process is right. definitely a better way to go about it. And for us, our customers have all come organically. So word of mouth from somebody recommending us to a new client or a client recommending us to somebody else. You know, fortunately for us, it's all come from there so far. So, you know, we're going to continue down that path of nurturing our existing client base and making sure that, you know, everybody knows about the really cool stuff that we're doing on behalf of those clients. And then, you know, trust that that will lead to more of the same.
Right. Excellent. I love it. You're I want to say you're fortunate, but it's all been very purposely planned.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, good
it's not
you.
Luck. Yeah. It is. There's a lot of hard work on that.
Yeah. And then we'll say there's some blessings along the way. Right? Maureen, we are out of time. We got to go. Appreciate you very much being on the show and giving me some of your time. And I wish you continued massive success.
Thank you.
So once again, folks, I'm here with Maureen Ballatore from 29 Design Studio. Maureen, if people do want to reach out and get in touch with you, what's the best way?
29designstudio.com.
Okay, just go right to your website.
You got it.
And they can email you from there. Or yes. I bet they could find you on social media, too.
You bet.
All right, good. Well, thanks again, Maureen.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. If you or someone you know would like to be considered to be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And Mamano is spelled M-A-M-M-A-N-O. And please make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.